T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Game were through the roof. Couldn't get in the building for less than $100 at one point. Now those things are starting to fall like hotcakes because now people are getting the news that Luka Doncic will be available in street will basically be available in street clothes. Games that are tickets that were literally $120 before I got on the air are now down to $65. They were actually selling standing room only tickets to this game on StubHub for $69, and now I'm sure people are trying to unload them like they had something that is about to go, like basically milk that's about to go bad. So, be that as it may, we press on. Had a chance to talk last night with Mike Conti about the last time we saw the Hawks in action. A big victory over the Miami Heat on Thursday night, and look ahead to what we will see tonight inside State Farm Arena. And what exactly has transformed this Hawks team over the course of the last couple of weeks into one where they're starting to come into their own. We'll do that coming up here about 3:40 when I had a chance to speak with him in studio last night before my Friday night edition of the Willie P. Experience. Braves 5, Orioles nothing. They're in the 7th right now. I don't think we learned anything that could be long-ranging or long-reaching, but think about this from a messaging standpoint from the Atlanta Braves. They start Felix Hernandez in the opening game of spring training to basically give him as much of an opportunity as any to lock down a starting spot in a rotation that will not include, at least at the start, Cole Hamels. Hamels actually arrived in Northport, Florida today, met with the media, didn't really say anything too novel. They were asking him about a timetable, and he said, yeah, it's still the 2.5-3 weeks or whatever that he's not going to be doing anything, and he's going to just kind of go back to square one and build his arm back up to where he thinks he can survive throughout the remainder of this 1 year, $18 million prove-it deal for him. I know that people really freaked out when he got hurt. Some thought, oh, man, there goes the rotation. Maybe they just don't envision him as being that much of a big key cog in that rotation after all. Maybe this is putting more of the onus on the Sorokas, the Freeds, the Foltynewicz, the Sean Newcomb hope that is supposed to be surrounding what many believe is a reclamation project for the Southpaw. And then there's what we'll see over the course of the next couple days. Bryce Wilson is going to start game 2, which I find rather interesting. Freed's going to play Monday against Toronto. And you think at least Wilson and Wright are the two that are on the outside looking in, trying to supplant Newcomb and Felix Hernandez of the two guys who many believe, at least the Braves, looks like they're trying to count on either of those two to have an opening day roster spot, with the lesser of the two exiting the rotation once Cole Hamels comes back. And the other part of this that I think you have to look at, too, is very, very curious, because I understand where Alex Anthopoulos came from with the way he constructed this roster. I think that there needs to be a put-up-or-shut-up nature to a lot of the guys who are sitting here, whether it's a Johan Camargo, an Austin Riley, and even also and emergence of some maturity from guys like Christian Pache and a continued progression of Drew Waters. We see both of them in the game currently. But my whole thing is that if you're looking at this franchise and you're trying to say that they can win now, why was that not compounded by the fact that you need something beyond the number four slot in your batting order? And that's the part of it that I find very curious and interesting, is that if you think that your fifth hitter is a guy like Dansby Swanson, Dansby, at his greatness, or at his greatest point, could be that. But we also saw some times down the stretch last season where he could not basically justify hitting eighth or even in the lineup altogether. So there are a lot of people who I think have some nervousness going into the season. I think, and I'm going to try to keep it optimistic, because I think there's been a lot of pessimism. There's been a lot of negative talk, a lot of negative chatter about the Braves. I'm going in with about as open of a mind as possible, because if you have a group like this one that can reach its potential in certain areas, this is once again a 95 to 100 win ball club, and you're hoping that you at least get beyond the first round of the playoffs, unlike the last couple of seasons. But make no mistake, if we start teetering around the 500 mark in late June and early July, people are going to wonder, why didn't you make a move in the offseason? I don't like being at a front office spot in a position where I'm having to say, ha, I told you so, if I'm the GM. Instead of saying, hey, look what I did. This organization is trying to prove to you, hey, look what we didn't do and look how okay we are. That's the part of it that's always very dangerous when it comes to running an organization, and specifically a baseball team. Because the one thing that's different about this sport than the others is you're not working with a cap. You're working with a luxury tax. But many who are outside of the rooms of the Liberty Media folks will tell you that there is a certain cap that's placed on this team, and you don't want to have them, quote, losing money. And because of that, it has led a lot of people on this radio station, myself included, to come to the conclusion that the Braves literally have hit their limit. But I still think that there's room for them to make an improvement at the trade deadline if you are looking at that particular negativity around the month of June, early July. But I'm going to keep an open mind and be optimistic, because baseball being here is a good thing. We need more things happening around here as the weather starts to get a lot warmer here in the A. 404-741-0929 is how you get in touch with us. Me, Willie P, on Twitter at Willie P Style, and also the radio station at 929 The Game. The National Football League and its Players Association have themselves in an impasse. We'll try to decipher what's true and what's not true out of the two sides posturing against each other. Next, Willie P is in a building on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Willie P is in the house. Hope you're enjoying yourself on this Saturday afternoon. As Paul said, 5-0 Braves. Chad Sobotka's in for them. Felix Hernandez told assembled reporters in the locker room after the game in the clubhouse. He said, if I keep doing what I did today, I'm going to be in that rotation spot. Had good movement, kept the ball down, threw 17 strikes, 32 pitches, had one walk, was able to make things happen for himself. And I think that, you know, again, this is just the first step. As we all know, this is something that's more of a elongated process than anything you're going to get any kind of immediate gratification from. So to expect anything, you know, life-changing, I think would be ambitious for us to kind of look at right now. 404-741-0929 is how you get in touch with us on the phones and also on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line. And Tony is calling from Stockbridge. And Tony, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, leading us off today. How are you, pal?
Talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem, dude. What do you got?
you know, I'm glad you opened up with what you opened up with the Hawks. You know, I'm pissed off. I want to go to the game tonight, but you know, in light of, I just found out that those guys are not playing tonight. You know, it just spoiled all my fun. I was going to record the game. I'm not going to even do that anymore, man, because we did a back to back, and I think I've seen Trey go out there and play. So I think it's the team not trying to hurt their brand, because everyone was waiting for that matchup between Trey and Luka, and I think they don't want to hurt his brand, you know. So I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think that Luka is worried about getting his ankles really broken by Trey, honestly, if I had to guess it. I can't take full credit for that joke. That joke was first made by our own Wendy Adams on Twitter earlier today. But no, it's completely gutless, and I understand what they're trying to do. You know, Dallas is in a situation where they're in a different spot than the Hawks are. They're trying to get themselves ready for a stretch run that's basically about a 24-25 game sprint to the finish for them to try and get themselves in a postseason in the Western Conference, whereas the Hawks are rebuilding. So load management probably isn't chief among their concerns. They're right now dealing with some injuries that are legitimate, like Clint Capella and Scalabissier. And the best thing that they want to try to have happen is that they want to make sure that those guys can be a big part of what's going on for them over the course of the latter part of this season and be healthy going into next season. But here's the problem. I personally believe that if you're looking at the NBA and looking at it as a regular season product only, and this was something that was brought up by the NBA and its owners, they were trying to figure out any particular way to, I guess, jazz up the regular season. They were thinking about having an in-season tournament that looked more like a European soccer type thing, more so than basketball. Maybe cut the regular season down to 75 games. But here's the problem, is that you have such a wide gap between what you see in the NBA regular season and what you see in the playoffs. If we're looking at the two sports that probably look, or at least the one sport that looks most similar between playoffs and regular season, it's the NFL. And here's the problem with what's going on there. They're trying to capitalize on the same thing that these other sports are doing, which are massive jumps in their playoff ratings. Now, NFL ratings are pretty darn good, and they've had a very big rebound over the course of the last couple of years. But playoffs are another animal. And the one thing that we love in our sports is when everything is on the line, as evidenced by what we saw with Major League Baseball when they moved to the wild card game. So if there's anything that I think we're noticing, is that these regular season sports are serving nothing more than just a preamble for what is to come. You're going to have enough statement nights throughout the season to keep the casual fan and the regional fan interested, but as far as anything that happens that cracks the attention of everybody, you're not going to see it with the NBA regular season. And that's just it's a fait accompli. So I really don't understand how it got to this point. I understand that the game is a much more physical game now than it used to be, but seeing this happen is a real disservice to the fans. Tony is one guy who called in and said that he had tickets to the game tonight, was going to go, had it for this particular night because of the Trey-Luka matchup. Other people I've seen on social media who have said that they wanted to see both Luka and maybe Kristaps Porzingis as well play. Both of them are not going to. It's a shame. It's a shame that you have opportunities to create these type of singular moments, and when you have only two opportunities during the season to have Trey and Luka play each other, and Luka's missed both of them, it's a darn shame. 404-741-0929. Mel is in Southwest Atlanta, and Mel wants to talk Braves. Hello, Mel. Happy Saturday to you.
Well, okay, let's talk about them then. Well, you saw what happened today, didn't you?
Of course.
They look pretty good.
Yeah.
But you know what? They play 162 games, man.
Of course.
It's not like and not like basketball. Look, the reason the national the basketball division now, I'm gonna tell you why. Because if you win 40 some odd games, some of your players not gonna play because they're getting ready for the playoffs. So that's where your NBA now, because you can tell, because that's just like the Hawks beat the Heat the other night.
Yeah,
but
that was the first. That was the first game off the All-Star break, Mel.
You know what I'm saying?
They had a week off.
But you know what? We cheered and going on now about the Hawks. The Hawks is playing for next year.
Of course.
It's good to see them win.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, now you complain about the outcome. The players the star players for the team don't play. But like I said, if they get to 40 some odd games, they're gonna strike up for a while until the playoff, because they know they're gonna probably be in the playoff. Because all you got to do is the week for some odd games, you're in the playoff.
Appreciate the call, Mel. Look, I understand that the goals are different, and the way things work for the NBA is that, you know, because of the nature of the fact that most half the teams get in the tournament, that there isn't as much of an onus on, you know, trying to go out and outpace everybody and, you know, win 73 games like the Warriors did a couple of years ago, and that you'll take schedule losses and things of that nature, but it robs the fans. Like it robs them of a legitimate product. The product has lacked legitimacy for a number of years. Not just because of load management, but this is another part of it. You've had the product lack legitimacy for a lot of it because of the super teams for a lot of it. Then people realized that super teams weren't exactly the way to win. And all the talent was so concentrated over maybe two or three different teams. And now instead of having, you know, threesomes and foursomes, you have duos. So while I get that, you know, the strategy behind it, what's to say that we can't still have, you know, a player play 82 games? What's to say we can't have situations where guys play back-to-backs? That's the other part of this, too, is that the NBA has to fix its scheduling and get rid of these back-to-backs, especially ones that are involving teams on the road and cross-regional things like these long road trips where Dallas had to play in Orlando last night, fly to Atlanta today. Not that I'm necessarily feeling ultimately sorry for them because they're millionaires and they should, you know, just do your job, because I'm sure that's how a lot of you feel. But in my mind, there's no excuse for the reasoning that it has to be this way. KJ is in Conyers, and KJ, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How are you, pal?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, dude?
Hey, I want to talk about the scheduling. It's simplified. Let's go, if you're playing in the Western Conference, you cannot take nights off when you come on the East Coast.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, and vice versa. If you're playing in the Eastern Conference, you can do nights off when you go to the West Coast. The West Coast fans don't get a chance to see you that much, and vice versa.
I personally think that you should not be allowed to load manage if you're on the road, especially in a place where you only play once a year, once or even twice a year. Like, for example, there were nights where I think Vince maybe took a night off, but it was in a city that they were coming back to later on in the season, so it was okay. But, like, you know, for example, he's been going on this farewell tour, and he basically said, hey, you know, I want to make sure that everybody gets an opportunity to see me play for one last time, and he's done a pretty darn good job of that throughout the season, probably playing a lot more minutes than he wanted to. But I personally believe that this is one of the biggest problems that exists right now in sports, aside from what's going on with the Houston Astros and their cheating scandal and the fear of other things being uncovered as a result of that. Outside of that, this is the biggest problem for a particular major sport because it is diluting the NBA product as a whole. Maybe the Hawks will get a win tonight. Who knows? Willie P is in the building. We will talk more about what we saw the other night with Mike Conti, Hawks radio analyst. He had some interesting perspective to share with us about maybe this team turning the corner and starting to come together. Willie P is in the building on a Saturday. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no question about it. I feel like you've actually gotten a taste of what we think the Hawks are going to become pretty soon. Really over the last month, you know, since January 22nd, which was, I guess, a full month ago now, or as of tomorrow, a full month, Hawks have played 6 home games. They've won 5 of them, okay, and including some games against good teams. Clippers, Philadelphia, last night Miami, playoff team. But the other thing that stands out to me is Trey has become such a showman now where some of the things he does out there, for lack of better terms, is just kind of Maravich-esque. Mm-hmm. That you had a crowd in that building Thursday night that was reacting to Trey and reacting to what the Hawks were doing as though it was Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, when in fact it was their 16th win of the year. So I think, you know, it's so encouraging that you have a group that is playing well together for the most part. They're fun to watch. They're very entertaining. They're creating problems for a lot of good teams in the league. They are closing a lot of games out, and no one's happy with having 16 wins. But I guarantee you that won't be the last time Trae Young scores 50 points in a game. I can promise you that.
How encouraging was it, too, when the fact that they're still not whole? Like, they still haven't gotten the two pieces from the big trade deadline moves that they made with LeBissiere and with Capella. Yeah, they had Dedmon, but he was not on the floor in that real key stretch. That was all done by the young guns.
It was, yeah. And Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter. I mean, if you look at the last 10 points of the game, the Hawks scored all 10. You had a big game-tying three by DeAndre Hunter. The play that won the game had nothing to do with Trey. It was Cam Reddish stripping Goran Dragic and going in for a dunk. That's enormously encouraging because I feel like seldom this year have the Hawks had games where both Hunter and Reddish in the same game are giving you something positive. Last night you got that. Kevin Huerter gave you that. It was a relatively quiet night for John Collins, but it didn't really matter when it was all said and done. So, yeah, I mean, look, the Hawks are going to be fine. Are they one player away? They might be more than one player away. But Clint Capella, I think, is going to be that guy that's really, really going to help propel them. It's not going to be for this year. It's going to be for next year. I mean, they're going to be very, very cautious with bringing Capella back this year. I think you're realistic about the situation you're in right now. You're not going to make the playoffs. You're 9 games below the playoff line, 25 to go. You're not going to make it. So there's no point rushing a Capella back. But I think Capella is going to be a difference maker for this team, and I'm really eager to see it sometime soon, hopefully in the month of March, because the area where the Hawks continue to struggle is rebounding. Clint Capella will instantly change that.
Hawks radio analyst Mike Conti joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Willie P in for John Chuckery. It's funny you mentioned Cam, because I think, like I've always said with you, I feel like you and me were kind of the lone rangers when it comes to Cam's development and saying, you know, wait and see, this guy is going to show you flashes. And I think he just kind of needed to come into his own. And I almost feel like he didn't really feel the pressure of it being a job at Duke. And I think that's why you saw a lot of the lack of mental awareness at times, sometimes the play's taken off. Now he's starting to see it, and you're starting to see that player and the reasons why he was taken as highly as the Hawks did.
Yeah, that's an interesting observation. I haven't really thought of it that way. Something has clicked for him since the start of this calendar year. And maybe it was just one of those things, going to a teammate asking for help. Lloyd Pierce has worked very closely with him as well, and I think, if anything, this validates Lloyd Pierce as a player developer, which was his reputation coming from Philadelphia here to Atlanta. Cam Reddish is absolutely on the right track, and it kind of forces you to look at the Trae Young for Luka Doncic trade through a new prism, doesn't it?
Sure.
Because Reddish is part of the trade, and you have Doncic and Trae, who are elite players in this league right now. I don't think there's a whole lot that separates Doncic and Trae Young. But if Reddish becomes more than just a guy, and the Hawks seem to think he has a very, very high ceiling, and recent indications would seem to back that up, it totally changes the way that we're going to evaluate that trade. And then it becomes a clear win for the Hawks. But Cam's got to keep this going. And part of it is staying healthy, getting reps, getting through the season clean from an injury standpoint, perhaps going to summer league this offseason. I don't know if they'll make him do that or not, but, I don't think it would hurt for him. He's on the right track, and I think you saw a lot of very positive indications of that again last night.
What is different about Trey? And I'm not going to sit here and try to put a timeline on it or even try to point out a moment. I know a lot of people like to go back to, well, since Kobe's passing, people have said he's got a different gear. But I almost feel like it was before that, maybe even before Christmas, where you started to see certain things about him be resonated to the next level.
Yeah, I maybe it's confidence. I think it's just kind of like we talked about with Cam Reddish. He's played more games. He's getting additional minutes. Every game he takes another positive step forward. He's not a rookie in the NBA anymore. He's a confident second-year player who's just come back from an All-Star game. But it's like you said last night, he's never really lacked confidence. I think the other thing that's helped too, though, is his supporting cast has played better. Mm-hmm. And getting that supporting cast intact where John Collins can play and Kevin Huerter's not hurt, that's been big too. Because I think a big part of the story for Trey the first half of this year was a lot of unconverted assists because he was finding guys who were open and they weren't making shots. Now those shots are falling. The assists are being converted. And it's a little more risky for opponents to double team Trey because there are three or four other players out there on the floor who can score. So I think it's an assemblage of a lot of different.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.